trying to think which is the microphone here. Here is a, all right, this is the microphone. Is this, that's the microphone. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay. I got microphone 3 instead of microphone 1 this time. Oh, well. Hello, everybody. I'm King David McKenzie. Although, should I try to grab this one and see if it works? How about this one? Oh, this is much better. This is much better. King David McKenzie here. Unfortunately, I realize I was supposed to be here to do Blacklisted Talk Radio. What was it? Back at 12:30. What happened was the automated kiosk for getting the weekend passes for the Metrolink system could not read my debit card, and the train pulled out before it could read my debit card in order to pay for the pass. So, unfortunately, I had to wait for the next train, which only got me here, that combination and the, what was it, and also the red line was only able to get me here at 1:53, so I've just been doing this and doing what I, you know, can to set up and whatnot. And in any event, here is, this is the first Saturday afternoon program for those of you listening on the live feed, of course, you know, podcast. You listen when you damn well please, basically. In any event, because it is an abbreviated program, you're just going to get a couple of different things today, and a much more elongated, complete program will be starting next week here at killradio.org. It is now 2:16 Pacific time on, even though the sun is finally coming out, it has been as gray a day in Los Angeles as you can possibly imagine, but we'll do what we can. As usual, we will be starting today's program with the listings of the different roller derby scores for the last for last weekend going into today. There were some on mainly Saturday and Sunday, 25th and, you know, 24th and 25th of March, and there were a couple in Omaha last night, and we have the scores for those. By the way, this is all courtesy of derbynewsnetwork.com. Once again, many thanks for their work. And so, and the Clover Cup was, let's see, both the Clover Cup and the Dust Bowl were last weekend. Dust Bowl, of course, you know, being up in Bakersfield. The Diamond Divas. Was it Diamond Divas or Derby Revolution up there that handled Diamond Revolution, I guess. In any event, what happened was the scores starting with the 24th of March, starting with the Clover Cup. Let's start with the Clover Cup. I have to move the microphone here. Yeah, forgive me for the noise. Saturday, March the 24th, the Clover Cup started with matches. These are all sanctioned from the Women's Flat Track Derby Association, WFTDA. Omaha beating Gold Coast 141 to 111. Jacksonville just, actually, Jacksonville being defeated by Tampa 135-132. Green County, Green Country, rather. Green Country beating Dallas 124-68. Houston took care of the Oklahoma Victory Dolls 213-68. Jacksonville beat Gold Coast 177-129. The Oklahoma Victory Dolls defeated Dallas 108-70. Tampa beat Omaha 166-101. And Houston defeated Green Country 309-28. That was all in the Clover Cup 2012 on Saturday. Now, on Sunday, the 25th of March, it was Omaha beating Jacksonville 119-110. The Oklahoma Victory Dolls over Green Country 155-74. Jacksonville beating Green Country 167-70. Omaha defeating the Oklahoma Victory Dolls 130-92. And Houston defeating Tampa rather handily 203-84. In competition in the Dust Bowl 2012 up in Bakersfield, started out with knockouts being defeated by Resurrection 87-43. We had Choice City beating the mixed team of Bakersfield Diamond Revolution 78-23. Pickup teams State Route 99. Ooh, boy, did they defeat the Redding Angry Beavers 155-10. 10? 155-10. Ouch. Ventura County beat San Fernando Valley 155-44. Junction City took care of Monterey Bay 97-52. Pickup teams, Team Cruz, defeated Resurrection 121-27. San Diego Roller Derby beat Choice City 57-43. OC over Junction City 94-14. Then pickup teams State Route 99 got defeated by Ventura County 95-48. San Fernando Valley again beating the Redding Angry Beavers 114-28. It was not the Angry Beavers weekend there. I'm sorry. Resurrection over Monterey 72-67. Knockouts beating Junction City 80-60. And then pickup teams State Route 99 defeated the mixed team Bakersfield Diamond Revolution 120-45. And Choice City, rather handily taking care of San Fernando Valley, 42-19. That was the Dust Bowl 2012 action on the 24th of March, Saturday. On Sunday, March the 25th, it was pickup teams Team Cruz defeating San Diego 114-26. OC took care of Ventura County 91-56. Choice City defeated Resurrection 80-54. Pickup teams State Route 99 took care of the knockouts 122-44. Ventura County over Choice City 94-78. San Diego Roller Derby took care of pickup teams State Route 99 81-43. And finally, pickup teams Team Cruz soundly defeating OC 93-23. That's all the action in Dust Bowl 2012 last weekend. Other matches, other bouts going on elsewhere in the world on the 24th, last week, Saturday. In Nashville, the Atlanta Rumble Bees defeating the Nashville Music City Brawl Stars 178-69. And then 19th ranked Nashville defeating Atlanta 166-136. In Naptown, 14th ranked Naptown very soundly defeating Dutchland 251-43. And Naptown's Warning Bells defeating the Dutchland Blitz 257-30. At Grand Raggedy, the 21st ranked Chicago Outfit defeating Grand Raggedy 127-101. And the Chicago Outfit Shade Brigade defeated the Grand Raggedy G-Rap Attack 140-110. In Sacred City, Sacred City defeating Emerald City 227-90, and the Sacred City Disciples, even worse, taking its Battleborn 300-62. Silicon Valley was the site where the Silicon Valley Kilobytes defeated the Santa Cruz Harbor Hellcats 91-89, and Silicon Valley itself defeating Santa Cruz 112-99. In Rock City, Rock City took care of Ithaca 125-93. At Dominion, Dominion defeating Central New York 239-191. That one I would have liked to see. A very high scoring match there. At Derby City, it was Burning River defeating the host Derby City 261-101. At Sioux Falls, it was Sioux Falls defeating Fargo-Moorhead 135-87. Humboldt was the location where Bay Area Berkeley Resistance defeated the Humboldt Widowmakers 160-37. And it was the Bay Area Oakland Outlaws defeating Humboldt 113-103. At Richland City, Richland County? I'm going to have to check on that. Richland CTY is how they have it listed here. Okay. Carolina Wrecking Balls defeating Collision 167-80, and Blue Ridge French Broads defeating Richland CTY 161-147. Up at Boston, the Nutcrackers defeating the Cosmonautes 162-91, and the Boston Bee Party defeating the Maine Calamity Chains 132-116. Over in the United Kingdom at Newcastle, it was the UK Newcastle Whippin' Hinnies, or is it a Whippin' Hinnies? Somebody from Newcastle, if you're listening, you know, fill me in on that. Or somebody from the UK. You know, it's H-I-N-N-I-E-S. But to my American eyes, that could, you know, be Hinnies or Hinnies. I don't know. The team from Newcastle defeating Furness 137-57. And Glasgow's Maiden Girders defeating UK Newcastle 164-56. Back stateside at Flint City, it was Eastside defeating the Flint City Grand Funk Hellcats 202-77, and the Mitten Mavens defeating Flint City 199-170. So it wasn't a particularly good night for the home team up in Flint City that last Saturday. At Northern Rivers, the 2012 North Coast Derby Coalition about there, Northern Rivers 227 over Clarence Valley 60. The Bay Rollers really took it to Dweed Valley 237-50. At V-Town, the OC Pulp Friction defeated the V-Town Darlings 210-64. At Gem City, NEO really taking it to the host team, Gem City, 319-27. Mississippi Valley Mayhem. It was the location, of course, that's up in La Crosse, Wisconsin, where I used to live. Des Moines really took it to the Mayhem, 205 to 72. At Quad City, over in Iowa and Illinois, the area, Moline, Dubuque, not Dubuque, Davenport, and Rock Island and that area. At Quad City, the Des Moines Crash Test Dolls defeating Quad City 148 to 141. At Cherry City, it was Lava City defeating Cherry City 105 to 80. Over at Tucson, the Arizona State Roller Derby Conference play. My Copper Queens took it to the Vice Squad 155 to 134. And the Inland Empire Derby Divas from, of course, out here in California, defeated the Bandoleras, which is the new Tucson travel team, 119 to 82. At Rat City, the Throttle Rockets took it to the Socket Wenches, 135 to 107, and Grave Danger defeating Derby Liberation Front, the Derby Liberation Front, 122 to 117. At Kansas City, here I come. The Black Eyed Susans took it to the Knockouts, 86 to 83. And the Victory Vixens take it to the Dreadnought Dorothies, 166 to 50. In Phoenix, at the Arizona Derby Dames match at the Coliseum there, banked track. We had the Runaway Brides defeating the Schoolyard Scrappers, 180 to 81, and the Coffin Draggers over the Brutal Beauties, 156 to 58. At North Star, we had the Violent Femmes over the Banger Sisters, 147 to 37. Delta Delta Die defeating the Kilmore Girls, 117 to 60. At Gulf Coast, the Cajuns defeating Gulf Coast, 131 to 125. At Erie defeating the NEO Audio Assault, 169 to 55. At Norfolk, Dakota City defeating Norfolk, 227 to 90 was the final tally there. In San Diego, the LA Derby Dolls Flight Crew defeating the San Diego Rollers, 132 to 84. At Central Arkansas, Tulsa's Derby Brigade defeating the home Big Dam Rollers, 292 to 17. In Mid-Iowa itself defeating the Iowa Rollin' Aces, 243 to 67. Wasatch, which is up in the Salt Lake City area, saw the Magic City Rollers defeating the Wasatch Bonneville Bone Crushers, 104 to 96. Mississippi's Brawl Stars. Well, the Dixie Rocket City Rollers defeating the Brawl Stars, 171 to 32. At Emerald Coast, the home team beat North Shore, 263 to 99. Emerald Coast pulling that one out very, very sharply. Oil City, rather, up in Canada. Oil City. The Tanker Girls were defeated by Central Alberta, 198 to 123. Back over to the UK, at Liverpool, the Manchester Checker Broads defeating Liverpool, 211 to 173. You have at the Birmingham Blitz home track, the Blitz taking care of Croydon, 158 to 103. At Convict City, that's down in Hobart, Tasmania, Australia, way down under. Convict City defeating Devil State, 158 to 99. Burn City saw Hub City defeating Burn City, 129 to 124. At Acadina, Now this is a name I haven't seen before. Let me check that again. Acadiana. There we go. Okay, Acadiana. At Acadiana, the home team at Acadiana defeated the Red Stick Capital Defenders to 319-120 was the final score there. At Senia, the Bayou Outlaws defeating Senia 116-107. In Mobile, Alabama, Mobile defeating Pensacola in a nice little, you know, border war there, 151-136. At Hellgate, the Brawlin' Mollies defeating Electric City 212-96. In Central Florida, it was Central Florida 180, Palm Coast 90. At Apple City, the Black Label Barbies defeated the Jawbreakers 238-101. The Desert Dolls, that's also the Phoenix area, actually the Eastern Valley area, Eastern Valley of the Sun. The Cosmic Killers defeated the June Cleavers 200-91. At the Rollerista's home track, it was the Traumakazis defeating the Fallout Brigade 132-79. At Bunbury, the Zombiettes defeating the Rockabullies 92-64, and at Towns Villains, it was the Slaughterers 133, the Skull Ravens 109. All of those are the what was going on Saturday the 24th of March. Now Sunday the 25th of March, you had the Southern at Springfield, Southern Illinois visiting and being very heavily defeated by Springfield, 309-43. There was a private bout at the DC Roller Girls, where the DC Roller Girls defeated Central New York 291-85. A private bout at Naptown, where Dutchland beat Burning River 177-105. At Underground, the Ole Outlaws defeating La Fembots 144-84, and the South Bay Bombers taking care of the Rolling Regulators 106-103, just barely getting past the Regulators there. At Fort Myers in Florida, it was Fort Myers really taking it to Dub City 205-34. Ah, yes. Scotland. The old Reeky Cannon Bettys traveled to Fair City and defeated Fair City on their home track, 324-57. And in the Uinta Madness Battle of the Sexes, we saw the Uinta Badness. Uinta Madness. Finally get that right. I am having so many. Is this my weekend? It doesn't seem to be. And it hasn't been my month, really. You know. Anyway, the Uinta Madness 88 against the Magic City Rollers 85. And last night at Omaha, Omaha defeated North Star 127-90, and Dakota City beat the Omaha AAA team 132-98. All of those are the scores from the last 7 days. Now, as far as what's going on this weekend, including tonight, and in some cases, I'm sure, this afternoon, and in cases of matches that are scheduled for elsewhere in the world, they've already taken place, you know, today. Honky Tonk Stomp 5 happening and the lineup for today. The Dunlap Darksiders against Scenic City, the Hard Knocks Brawlers against Memphis's B Team, Little City up against Hard Knocks, Little City up against Memphis, and Hard Knocks up against Memphis. There's also the Quad City Chaos 2012 going on with Toronto meeting Rideau Valley, Hammer City meeting Tri-City. Hammer City taking on Rideau Valley then, and Tri-City taking on Toronto. At Windy City, Chicago, the Naptown Warning Bells will be taking on the Windy City Second Wind, and 14th-ranked Naptown will be taking on 10th-ranked Windy City. In Cincinnati, Demolition City will be taking on 24th-ranked Cincinnati. And the Demolition City Destruction Dames will be taking on the Cincinnati Violent Lambs. At Bleeding Heartland, it'll be Grand Raggedy up against Bleeding Heartland, and St. Chuck's Bleeding Heartland Code against the Blue Assassins. At Columbia, it'll be Tallahassee up against 25th-ranked Columbia and Rogue against the Columbia Misbehaviors. At Minnesota, 23rd-ranked Brew City, Milwaukee, will be going up against 12th-ranked Minnesota. At the Connecticut Roller Girls home track, it'll be Shoreline up against the Connecticut Roller Girls Yankee Brutals, and then Queen City taking on the Connecticut Roller Girls. At Big Easy, New Orleans, it'll be Cape Fear up against Big Easy. And is Big Easy at New Orleans? I thought it was. Yeah, that's what I thought. And the River Region up against the Big Easy Crescent Wenches. At Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, it'll be Duke City coming up from Albuquerque to Sin City, and the Notorious VIP up against the Flying Aces. At Suburbia, it'll be New Hampshire against Suburbia. At Terminal City, there a cross-border bout with Jet City and Terminal City going up against each other. At No Coast, it'll be North Star against No Coast. At Lehigh Valley, Harrisburg will be visiting Lehigh Valley. At the ICT track, it'll be Flint Hills Fury against the ICT Heartland Havoc, and Kansas City's Plan B up against ICT. Then River City will be seeing Charm City's Mobtown Mods against the River City outfit. And Appalachian up against the River City Uncivil Warriors. At Madison, one of my old hometowns, the Unholy Rollers against the Vaudeville Vixens, and the Kansas City Dreadnought Dorothies against the Madison Quad Squad. Go Green. At Onkanagan Shoe Swap, Onkanagan will be going up against Onkanagan Shoe Swap, and Tournament City up against Onkanagan Shoe Swap Candy Strikers. At Forest City, it'll be Royal City up against the Forest City Thames Fatales, and the Royal City Violet Uprising up against the Forest City Luscious Lunch Ladies. Of course, we're talking about the London area. Another UK bout that's undoubtedly, you know, could be going on at this very moment, considering the time difference. Emerald City, we are going to be seeing No Town up against the Flat Track Furies, and the Church of Skaten against the Andromedals. At Magnolia, it'll be the Red Stick Capital Defenders visiting Magnolia. At McLean County, they'll be hosting the Chicago Outfit Shakedown. Chattanooga will be hosting Soul City. At Dockyard, the Trampires up against the Marauding Mollies, and the Femme Fianas up against the Hellbound Home Wreckers. We're also going to be looking at Burning River hosting. Well, actually, I think this is an intra league setup. The Rolling Pin Ups, up against the Cleveland Steamers. You heard right. The Cleveland Steamers. That has got to be one of my favorite team names in all of roller derby. They have just as sick a mind as I do. And the Hell Bombers up against the Hard Knockers. At Shore Points, it'll be Jersey up against Shore Points and the NYSC up against Harm City Homicide. At Wakey, it'll be Dolly Rocket against Wakey. At Rome, Georgia, Rome will be hosting the Atlanta Jukes of Hazard. At State Line, which is up in the Rockford, Illinois, Rockford, Illinois, Beloit, Wisconsin area there. We are looking at Midwest visiting State Line. Molly Roger hosting Thunder City. Blackwater hosting Charlottesville. The Tampa Bruise Crew will be traveling to Gainesville tonight. At Port Scandalous, they'll be hosting Rat City's Throttle Rockets. In Northern Arizona State, the Arizona State Roller Derby Conference will see the Dirty Verde up against Northern Arizona. At Southside in Colorado, Detour will be going up against Southside. Mississippi Valley Mayhem in La Crosse, Wisconsin will be hosting Thunder Bay. The Rockford Ragdolls are going to be hosting the River Demons at Rockford. At Rose City, it'll be the Breakneck Bedleys against the Guns N' Rollers. In Austin, Texas, the legendary TXRD Lone Star match. The Putas del Fuego against the Rhinestone Cowgirls. Ah, yes. Always a very, very, very tough match. Queen City will be seeing the Alley Cats up against the Nickel City Knockouts. Jersey Shore has the Anchor Assassins against the Murder Beach Militia. Up in the Bay Area, it's the Berkeley Resistance against the San Francisco Shevil Dead. Gotham, New York, has the Queens of Pain against the Brooklyn Bombshells. And Happy Valley will be having the Roland Rebellion up against the Sirens of Steel. All of that going on tonight or in other areas of the world. Obviously, those probably would have been what will have been already going on, or in the case of the British matches, British bouts. Well, they're going, they're probably very possibly going on as I speak right now. Now tomorrow being, of course, April Fool's Day. At Quad City Chaos 2012. The schedule calls for Tri-City up against Rideau Valley and Hammer City against Toronto. At Low Country, we'll be having Low Country hosting Tallahassee. Tulsa, Oklahoma. The Tulsa Derby Brigade against Mocan and the Tulsa Beta Corps against Route 66. At Rebellion will be going up against the Hell's Bells and the Vendetta Vixens against the Milton Keynes. At Tilted Thunder, the Rolling Blackouts against the Royal Crush and the Rat City Socket Wenches against the Tilted Thunder Rolling Blackouts. At Olympia up in Washington, The Ole Dropkick Donnas will be going against the Terminal City team. A private bout up in Sin City between the Duke City Hobots and the Sin City Black Spade Bettys. And at Greenbrier, it'll be the Beckley area going up against Greenbrier tomorrow. And all manner of matches going on next week. Next weekend, the 6th and 7th of April. Of particular interest here in Southern California, at the Pro Roller Derby Invitational, it'll be Charm City up against OC, and the Arizona Derby Dames against the Red City Grave Danger. And let me see. Also, the Santa Cruz, a couple of Santa Cruz teams will be at Knockouts. Santa Cruz Harbor Hellcats will be taking on Knockouts, and the Knockout Lightweights will be hosting the Santa Cruz Seabright Sirens. Also, the wrap-up of the Pro Roller Derby Invitational. So OC will be skating at some point on Sunday as well. Then you have the Blue Ridge has something going on, but that's not going to be until the Blue Ridge is out on the along the East Coast, so that's not there are no Southern California teams getting involved there. At Northern Arizona, you'll be seeing Durango up against Northern Arizona, so to a certain extent. And also at, there's a scheduled AZRD, Arizona Roller Derby, Phoenix bout with the B team going up against El Paso. And let me see if there's anything else for... and once again, and no, actually that's next Saturday. And so I was about to say, okay. Let's see. Next Saturday, we have, where was I? There was a lot of these things here. Here we are. We have, at Prison City, the Bay Area Berkeley Resistance up against Prison City. At SinCal, it'll be NorCal against SinCal. In San Diego, Salt City up against the San Diego Hardcore. And let's see, at South Coast, it'll be SoCal against the South Coast team there. And let's see if there's anything else going on. Arizona Roller Girls, once again, in the Phoenix area. The Cadaver Crew against the Lolitas de los Muertos. All of this, you can check out the complete schedule for next week at... Derby News Network. .com. And to find a derby team or league near you to either support or join, you can go to derbyroster.com and check. And they will have all of the information wherever you are in the entire world all the information for finding out what teams are near you. You can go there. They will have links for, you know, broken down into locale. And you can follow the links to the nearest roller derby outfit to your area. So that's something very interesting to me anyway. It is. Now, for the remainder of today's program, by the way, it's 2:53 on Saturday afternoon, the 31st of March, 2012. This is Blacklisted Talk Radio. I'm King David McKenzie. On killradio.org, broadcasting from Los Angeles, California. Cable, internet casting, actually. And in some cases, you're getting me on cable internet, but it's internet casting and podcasting from Los Angeles, California. For the rest of today's program, we have a very interesting, to me anyway, an old radio air check from a guy who is still doing talk radio. Fascinating man, very entertaining man, for me anyway, by the name of Alex Bennett. Back in 1967, specifically in the month of May the 29th of 1967, Alex Bennett was working at KILT Radio in Houston. Houston, of course, a very, very conservative community, and there was a play that was being put on there called MacBird, the 1967 satire by Barbara Garson. There was a production running off Broadway at that point, and MacBird superimposed the transfer of power following the Kennedy assassination, the John Kennedy assassination, onto the plot of Shakespeare's Macbeth. That's what, or if you want, you know, Throne of Blood. You know, go with the Kurosawa cinema adaptation, too. Anyway, that's what made this satire particularly controversial in 1967, and especially in the state of Texas, where Lyndon Johnson originated from. Thus, John F. Kennedy becomes Ken O'Dunk. No, John Kennedunk. Lyndon Johnson becomes MacBird. Lady Bird Johnson becomes Lady MacBird, and so forth. As Macbeth assassinates Duncan in the original Shakespeare, so MacBird is responsible for the assassination of Kennedunk. And as Macbeth is defeated by Macduff, so MacBird is defeated by Robert O'Dunk, which is a character based on Robert Kennedy. This action is significantly influenced by the three witches representing students, blacks, and leftists. And so this is a play that was being put on in Houston. They were in rehearsals at the time of this broadcast, and Alex Bennett decided to bring some of the cast members of MacBird onto his radio show at KILT. And for the next hour, most of the next hour, that's what we're going to be listening to, and I think you're going to be fascinated by this. I have left the commercials in only as artifacts, you know, cultural artifacts of that time. We're talking about 1967, the 29th of May. And so, you know, it's certainly not an endorsement of any of the products or any of the businesses advertising on KILT at the time. But this is very, very fascinating. And I hope that, and it also, this section contains some of the dialogue performed from the play itself, from MacBird by Barbara Garson. So going back to KILT Radio, May the 29th of 1967, Alex Bennett discusses MacBird with some of the performers and the creative crew involved in the production in Houston on Blacklisted Talk Radio. Check this out. I think you're going to enjoy this.
I think this is an example of experimentation. I want to talk a little more with you in a bit about the experimentation, because you say that he's trying, Ned is trying some new concepts in this play, mm-hmm. which makes it visually a very entertaining thing. May I speak to Bill Bailey and Michael Bobkoff, who are playing MacBird? And what is the actual title of that you're playing,
Michael? It's Robert Kenodunk.
Kenodunk. Would you get in front of the microphone?
Yes.
Robert Kenodunk.
Yes.
No, of course, no relationship to Robert Kennedy. It just sounds alike.
No, it just sounds alike.
How do you interpret the part?
Well, I'm playing him as a kind of one-dimensional character, and which is very difficult to do. And I'm also playing him for his cunning qualities. In other words, his once John is assassinated, Bobby suddenly takes over the leadership and he tries to become the king. You know,
mm-hmm. Does he will out in the end?
Yes.
Or has no one admitted during the last 7 minutes of the play?
No, he wins in the end.
Now, Bill Bailey is playing MacBird. How do you interpret the role?
I feel like that the character MacBird is to be played, and to a certain extent, as a hardcore of paranoia, just covered over with a big, thick layer of Midwestern corn.
This, of course, bears no relationship to our president. It's just that,
no, of course not.
Of course not. And is he a basically sinister, or is he being driven on by someone, as in Macbeth?
To a certain extent, he's being driven on by Lady MacBird. But whereas Bobby is more cunning, MacBird is more kind of, I don't know, like he's ready to, you know, take the straight way, you know, like get on the horse and get your shield and fight it out, buddy. The common sense man, the man with his feet on the ground, with his head out of the crowds, doesn't understand ideas, can't conceive of them, that sort of thing.
Now,
frightened by them. Marlboro man.
All right, you, I asked you when we planned this thing for you to come up to maybe give us some representative scenes that might give us an idea of the audience, especially because I'm familiar with the play, but they may not be, of the type of material. What kind of period does this take place in? No particular period at all, or?
Well, we're trying to play it as Elizabethan as we can,
uh-huh.
you know, in that particular period.
Uh-huh.
I think it adds quite a bit to the contemporary. I mean, the lines and the story itself taking place now in the 20th century, but with Shakespearean lines and.
Mm-hmm. Right, what is this first part out of the play you're going to do? What are the circumstances?
This is the first confrontation between MacBird and Robert Kenodunk.
Uh-huh. This is prior to any death.
Right, he's going to ask him in this scene if he will accept the vice presidential ticket with John Kenodunk.
I see. Yeah, what did the witches do before it, she says? She said you might tell us what the witches.
Scene with the witches before Bobby confronts MacBird.
The witches are the ones that confront MacBird, who has been completely downcast because of his loss of the nomination to John Kenodunk,
they confront him with the fact that he will be both president and vice president, like in Macbeth. And then Bobby comes in and confronts MacBird with the fact that he is vice president.
All right. Well, would you do the scene for us and give us a brief idea of it?
Hail, MacBird. Vice president thou art. That is, if you'll accept the second place. My brother Jack has picked you for the job in hopes that you'll agree to grace his slate.
Vice president. And president to be.
I know, of course, it's not what you had hoped. It's really just an honorary post, and so I'm sure you must want time to think. Perhaps we'll get together late tonight.
I thank your brother. Let him know for me I do accept, with deep humility.
Well, that's just fine. I guess that means that we should go and meet together sometime soon.
We've got a lot to do. Today. But when?
10 o'clock.
Okay, I'll see you then.
Adieu, MacBird. Parting is such sweet sorrow. Vice President today, and then tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow.
Did you add that to the script? That's very good, very good. Now, there's another scene.
Right.
That you talk of.
The ending scene. The final confrontation. The battle, the floor fight, as it's termed, as Barbara Garson has termed it. This is a kind of a do-or-die scene.
Kind of a parallel of the Macbeth.
Story. Macbeth plot.
Right.
Okay.
Turn, tyrant. Turn.
Of all my foes, I fear this twerp the least. But get thee back, for the love I bore your brother. On his account, I'm loath to do thee harm.
I'll waste no words, you pompous hypocrite. The floor fight will undo you on the spot. And all who would be spared now flee his side. For mercy, please, shall henceforth be denied.
Don't blow away your breath, you two-bit punk. Your older brother can't protect you here. I have a charmed career. Now be it known, no man with beating heart or human blood can ever harm MacBird or touch his throne.
Your charm is cursed. Prepare to hear the worst. At each male birth, my father, in his wisdom, prepared his sons for their envisaged greatness. Our first gasped cries as moist, inverted infants confirmed for him our place as lords and leaders. To free his sons from paralyzing scruples and temper us for roles of world authority, our pulpy human hearts were cut away, and in their place, precision apparatus of steel and plastic tubing was inserted. The sticky, humid blood was drained, and then a tepid antiseptic brine injected. Although poor Teddy suffered complications, the operation worked on all the others, thus steeling us to rule as more than men. And so, MacBird, that very man you fear, your heartless, bloodless foe, now lifts his spear.
My heart. My heart. Thus cracks a noble heart.
My lords, black sorrow hovers o'er the land. MacBird, our brilliant leader, lives no more. A tragic twist of fateful sorrow, friends, makes me your president this fearful day. And though I never sought it, history assigned me to her most demanding task, to follow my great predecessor's path in hewing out the smooth society. So, choked with grief, I pledge my solemn word to lift aloft the banner of MacBird.
And that is the end of the play.
That is the end of the play, man.
Not quite. That's the end of the spoken words.
That's the end of the spoken words of the play. Indeed, I think we can see the innuendos. And it's still, you say that Barbara Garson really did not mean all these things, or did she mean all these things? Or is that left to wonder? I think it is a brilliant parody on the Kennedy family, the speech that you give about the raising of the children and the fact that Teddy didn't turn out all right. It is an amazing play, and it is, I think, a lot of people, well, J. Edgar Hoover feels it's seditious. And on the other hand, I feel that it is a show of everything that is America. The fact that a play such as this sort can be produced, for certainly if this were a country, other than it is, Barbara Garson probably would have had her head lopped off by this time by those who would be worried about what it said. Has there been any reaction from the president at all on this play?
No, I don't think that the president is going to acknowledge its existence. And I think it would be rather foolish if he did. I just want to reiterate that Barbara Garson's statement is that power corrupts and political power corrupts absolutely. That she is using present-day politicians. She couldn't use anybody else. It would be foolish to say that there was no relationship. But she could use any politicians in power anywhere.
You brought Susan Holcomb along tonight. You are the publicist for the play.
Yes, I am.
What are the problems in being a publicist for something like MacBird? Now, I think we will all agree this is something a little bit different and unusual for Houston, which has, up until now, enmeshed itself in such great literary works as Arsenic and Old Lace. Our hearts were young and gay in our town.
Well, I feel that Houston so far has had primarily what I've termed safe plays. It doesn't want to deal in something that might step on somebody's toes or be the least bit unsafe. So since this is a little bit controversial, and some people consider it very controversial, a lot of people don't want to participate. And we've had some problems with getting people to join staffs and production crews and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about maybe after, if this production is successful, taking it out as a tent show and striking up the tents next to the LBJ Ranch and doing the play?
Well, that's a thought.
The play has been running how long in New York?
Since February 22nd.
Yeah.
Since when?
February, the end of February.
Uh-huh, so it's a good 4 months now. Do you expect a run that long here?
No, we don't anticipate it.
Is there any planned run here? I mean, have you said you're going to do it for so many weeks?
5 days.
And that's it?
That's it.
And then you move on. If it is overwhelmingly greeted, do you plan to do it for a longer length of time?
Well, there is a vague possibility that if we were lucky enough to pack a full house, that we would run longer.
Mm-hmm. Carol, you wanted to tell me about the experimental aspects of this play, which are unusual. You're using film and film over film. And
yes, we're using three film projectors and two slide projectors and a couple of tape recorders, and the number of light cues and film cues is just unbelievable. And there's a point to all this. It's not simple experimentation. It's not a psychedelic show. There are comments to be made. The script has its weaknesses. There are comments that need to be made in terms of what I said before about getting through the thick skin on people who no longer react to death, who no longer react to corruption, who have begun to accept these things. And Ned has taken every technique that he could get his hands on from New York and the experimental theater in New York and put it into this play to first shock the perceptions and open people up to receive some of the ideas. And the ideas, again, are not ideologies. They're simply things that people need to consider, need to see.
All right, and just to give you a quick plug, McBird, it's a non-profit show, I understand. Begins when? A week from...
Begins on June 7th, the week from Wednesday, and it will run through June 11th, which is Sunday.
All right, well, the discussion I want to get into tonight is, I'm sure we have a lot of people out there who would say, stuff like this should not be allowed. I want to hear from some of you creeps. I think it's, I've always believed that satire, no matter how biting, is the one thing that Americans are famous for.
I'd like to make one comment. Peter Brooks, whom I think is the greatest director of the English-speaking world right now, called this the most pro-American piece of theater for a long, long time. And I think what he means is that the fact that this can be done here is itself a highly pro-American statement.
All right. And our question is, should a play such as this go unchallenged? I think that it is in the true essence of all that is this country. And we'll be taking some calls in a moment. Our number is Jackson 42911. Jackson 42911.
Now, what did we learn from our little field trip to PetMart? Yes, Willie? You can save $3.05 on McGregor baseball shoes? Correct. Maria? If you buy a dozen lunch-size sacks of FM potato chips, you save 20 cents? Correct. Bennett? You can save $165 on a diamond engagement ring. Bennett, you're only 11 years old. I don't care if you're in love, Bennett. We'll discuss this after class. Yes, Lewis? What did I learn at FedMart? Well, that a penny saved is a penny earned. I bought a chocolate bar for 9 cents. It ordinarily costs 10 cents. I saved a penny, thanks to FedMart. It was a very profitable day for us all, me included. I mean, I included. Including I and me.
Flawless savings on perfect diamonds guaranteed with FedMart's independent appraisal money-back sales policy. Jackson 42911 is our telephone number.
Memorial Day.
The day of the greatest spectacle in racing.
The Indianapolis 500.
And KILT brings you exclusive radio coverage of every lap.
Beginning Memorial Day morning at 10:30.
Presented by Color TV City, 6100 Westheimer in the Briar Grove Shopping Center.
The greatest spectacle in racing, the Indy 500.
Memorial Day morning at 10:30 on KILT.
I want to talk to you people about something. I've got news, big news, from Texas' oldest and largest health center's chain, the Ace Reich and Silhouette Spas. This week, and this week only, the first 25 who call or come by can have a custom design program for as little as $1.50 a week. That's right, $1.50, that's all you need to invest in a new, thrilling way of life and get yourself a beautiful, marvelous physique. Or body, as the case may be. Fantastic? Yes, sir. And I can tell you, the results at Ace Reichen are fantastic, too. In just 2 weeks, I have lost myself 10 pounds. Would you believe that? Would you believe 11? The fun way. Why don't you go on down and lose weight the fun way, the Ace Reichen way, without exercise or diet? You can, too. And call right now this number. You ready? Jackson 64746. Call that number right now. Jackson 64746. Write it down. Etch it indelibly upon the cells of your brain. Jackson 64746. Jackson 64746. Jackson 64746. One more time for those who have not caught it. Jackson 64746. KILT in Houston. Our telephone number is Jackson 42911. Is that Ned Bobkoff that just walked in? Ned Bobkoff is the... are you executive producer? Is that the best title, Ned? Is that the best title to give you, executive producer?
Director would be more like it.
Although, are you the producer as well?
Yes, I'm also the producer, yes.
Anything else?
Oh, I just came out of rehearsal.
You have done this play. You've directed it elsewhere, haven't you?
At the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
And what was the reaction to it there?
As you would expect... Mostly favorably, because it is a university community. And also unfavorably, which you always expect from a good theatrical experience, yeah. And pack the houses as well.
How do you feel it's going to be received here in Houston?
Oh, I think it'll be received very well. You know, I think all good plays which have any meat into them will prove their worth at the door.
For instance, McVirt is playing off-Broadway, and it's been there for 4 months now. How long do you think the longevity of a play is like this, say, for off-Broadway? Because of its timeliness, is it something that is a flash in the pan and then it's gone, or do you think this will be around for a few years?
Well, Aristophanes wrote a play in which he satirized the leading political figures of ancient Greece, and his play is still being produced, although it's usually being produced by the same people who wouldn't do MacBird. Well, what that says, I don't know.
All right, we're going to accept some calls from our listeners and see what they have on their minds this evening. So let's take our first call. One moment. I don't know what our problem is tonight. We're not... Well, wait a minute. You're not on yet. Oh, hold. Here we go.
Go ahead. Hello.
I just, first of all, I want to thank the lady for saying I am too young. I'm 49 years old, so I really appreciate that.
Well, that's a compliment to you. Okay.
It truly is. But what I wanted to talk about was this play that you're talking about.
Yes.
Satire.
Mm-hmm.
I love satire, but I do think that anything that ridicules or I don't like it. I like satire, you know, in...
No, satire, though, is always ridiculed, hasn't it?
Well, but not an individual... I mean, if you pick out...
Well, I think if we checked definitionary definition, if we looked at a dictionary definition, we would find that it would be the ridicule of those in a humorous form.
I know, but when you take a family and it's all about them... we try to teach our children, don't talk about, don't laugh at, and don't do this. But when they see us going to a play that is about what we're trying to teach them not to do, how can we possibly raise the morale of our youth?
Ned Bob Koff, would you like to answer this question? We have the producer of the play.
All right.
Ned, would you go around back here to our bank of phones and answer this lady's question?
Well, the only thing I can say to that, the only thing I can say to the question is, I noticed she used the word "don't" quite often.
Well, you do. This is what you
and,
teach your children. Don't.
Well, I think that children should be not taught "don't" but "do," and that's my answer.
But you can't possibly say "do" without saying "don't."
I don't understand what you mean by that. It sounds to me like a verbal abstraction of some sort or another.
No, well, it isn't. It's exactly what I'm saying. This.
Well, where do you draw the line on the don'ts, and where do you pull the line down on the do's?
Well, there isn't a child alive that doesn't pick up from someplace reading or hearing or seeing someone make fun of someone else.
Well, do you believe that certain public figures should be made fun of?
No, I do not. I think we should uphold our public figures. If they're doing
Suppose
wrong,
you feel he's all wet.
If they're doing wrong, then they should be prosecuted for it.
But how do you prosecute somebody in power?
Well, they're certainly trying to do it to some of them now, aren't they?
Who's they?
The Senate. The
what Congress? Senators?
Mars and them are up on this Dodd, aren't they?
Well, if you believe a senator should say don't you believe an average citizen should be entitled to say don't as well?
But not in this manner. This is teaching them to ridicule a family.
Have you ever read the congressional record? I think the senators do a pretty good job of ridiculing one another on the congressional record.
They do, I know. Yes. But this is carrying it a little far, I think, when you take a family and you ridicule them. And
in other words, do you think it's
funny? I think some of the stuff is funny, too. I have these Kennedy records, and I think they're all right for my ears, but I don't want my children to hear them.
So you believe, then, therefore, that if it's all right for your ears, that you should censor
it? I don't believe it. I mean, to me, it's just a funny thing.
Well, of course, at the time those albums came out, and I know which ones you're talking about, the first Family series,
right.
Kennedy was heard to be said that he enjoyed them quite a bit.
Well, I did, too. That's what I said. They're funny.
Mm-hmm.
If you take them, it's something funny. But when you take a complete plot...
All right, well, let me hit you with something. It probably, you don't know.
Probably not.
Do you read your kids Alice in Wonderland?
Oh, yes.
Read them Gulliver's Travels?
Well, some.
You wouldn't think twice about reading Gulliver's Travels, though, would you?
Yes, I didn't like them.
You didn't like Gulliver's Travels?
No, I didn't.
Too controversial for you?
Right.
Well, it was very controversial, and so was Alice in Wonderland, even more so.
Well,
it completely ridiculed kings, lords.
It's fairyland. It's fairyland.
And Lewis Carroll almost lost his head over it.
Right. Well, it's just fairy tales. And
no, it's not fairy tales. It was originally written as a political satire against the king and queen and everyone. The off-with-her-head thing was not just meant as a kid's fairy tale-type joke. It was meant as a very serious bit of business.
Well, there's another question, you know, about whom do we ridicule and whom do we not?
I don't think we should ridicule anyone.
Well, I don't know, because it becomes very dangerous in this country when we are afraid to question, and there are many ways of questioning.
Well, I don't agree that you should not question, but I do think that you should not ridicule. There's too much of that. A person can't help the way they look. Sometimes they can't help the way they act.
Well, we're talking about the way someone in power thinks. And
well,
when it becomes...
we put them there, though, and we've got to wait till we can get them out.
Oh, heavens, I don't think so.
Well, if you drew up a lawsuit against them, or you got something, if there is something really terribly wrong with them, you could.
Well, wait a minute. Now, are you, in fact, then saying that, for instance, a newspaper should not write an editorial against
them? Certainly not. Not if it's the truth.
Well, then you are actually disenfranchising each and every individual of his right to free speech and to dissent.
I said if it is the truth.
Oh, if it is the truth.
That's right. If it's the truth, it could be written, and I'd gladly read it.
Well, of course, satire is never based on truth. It is based on parodying a situation.
I know.
And, of course, whatever you imply in, say, a play like this is your own implication.
Yes.
But I'm glad to say that we live in a country where Barbara Garson is not in danger of losing her head, like Lewis Carroll was, Jonathan Swift were, when they wrote their respective novels. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Good night. Alex Bennett.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I had a...
Would you turn on your radio?
Sure.
That is rule number one.
Feedback?
Yeah. Turn it down.
I'm going to turn it off.
Yeah, off completely.
Okay.
That's it. All right.
I was just listening to the lady here just talking before me, and first of all, I don't think any satire should be directed at children. You know, I mean, satire is written for adults, and I don't see where teaching children had anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that satire is aimed at a political figure, I think this is, I'm here looking at the American College Dictionary. It says the use of irony, sarcasm, ridicule, etc., in exposing, denouncing, or deriding vice, folly, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't think there's any difference between a political figure or myself or you or anyone else in the fact that these people happen to be in power. I think they should be more exposed to it because they are affecting you and me and everybody else, too.
Right. In other words, you have no objection to a play of this sort.
No.
Do you think we could have even been a little harder?
Well, when you get harder...
you become reality.
Well, not reality. It's not satire anymore.
Uh-huh.
Then you're just outright... denouncing. Satire is left to the imagination quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's meant to be funny or be ridiculous.
Yeah.
However you want to look at it.
Right.
And when you come out harder and denounce someone, well, you're not satirical anymore. You're taking an opinion. And I don't think playwrights take opinions or try to make their opinions that strongly felt. They would rather leave it to your imagination and your own thought.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Sure.
Our telephone number is Jackson 4-2911. Jackson 4-2911.
Alex Bennett, may I help you?
Alex Bennett?
Yes.
I wonder if that lady a while ago that you were asking about Alice in Wonderland and the other one?
Gulliver's Travels.
Yes, if she teaches her children that there is a Santa Claus.
Well, what does that have to do with the discussion?
Well, it does a little bit, because after all...
I mean, we all know there's a President Johnson.
Some imagination there.
Uh-huh.
You have to have some.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a play like this should be shown or put on for all the people, and I think everyone should go see it, because we need more controversy and The American people have got so they have to have whipped cream on their ice cream, and they need some more plain vanilla, don't you think?
Well, they do like Doris Day movies over those.
Well, that's true, but not when it comes to politics.
Well, of course, they like vanilla on their politics, too, you know.
Well, I'm not the... They're a little tired of the whipped cream on top of it, though, I think. They want the plain, ordinary facts, don't they?
Yes. Do you feel we're getting them?
But And she said that it was downing one particular family. Well, it isn't necessarily. It doesn't come out and say so. She thinks so in her own mind. But I could... put another family in there. Maybe I know someone like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you also, she forgets the laws of libel and slander, and that is that anyone in a public figure, such as the Johnson family, are open to ridicule and really cannot take it to court because they have placed themselves in a position of being a national product or national property.
That's
and therefore, the ridicule that one wishes to take, I always... agree with anyone who wishes to dissent simply because he's exercising his American right. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, June 4th, at the Kilt End of School Show, see in person the fabulous Fever Tree. It's the summer shower of stars, Sunday, June 4th in the Sam Houston Coliseum. Tickets are only $1.50 per seat for either show, 3 at 8 p.m. All proceeds go to the Farm and Ranch Club of Houston. Make plans now to see the Fever Tree along with the Jefferson Airplane at the Kilt End of School Show, Sunday, June 4th at the Coliseum.
Got plans for the weekend? Then don't forget the Slits, because when you're out of Slits, you're out of beer. Just as a friendly reminder, your neighborhood store has a special display of Slits. You'll recognize it by the sign that says, "Notice, we are not out of Slits, are you?" Of course you're not out of Slits, but make sure you won't be out this weekend. Stock up now while Slits is being featured wherever you buy the most carefully brewed beer in the world. Slits of Milwaukee.
Alex Bennett, may I help you?
Yes, I want to comment on this play.
Yes.
First of all, I'm very much against it.
Why?
I think of course we do have freedom of speech and everything, but by our taking this freedom of speech, are we not taking also the freedom of another person's rights also? It looks like to me that this play is set up for one purpose, and that's to... downgrade a person in a high position. I'm not necessarily, as a matter of fact, I'm not a Johnson man. I was a Goldwater man, but I believe Goldwater feels the same way, that you're basically taking the rights of another person away.
Are you ready for this, fella? Quote, Barry Goldwater. About this play in the Los Angeles Times, let me make something absolutely clear. I do not believe in censorship. I do not want it. I won't support it. I do not question the right of this young lady to publish, sell, or shout her literary works, and I support her in that right. I have no criticism for those who buy and enjoy her work. That is a private matter involving the free choice of seller and buyer, and so be it. That's what your idol says.
Yeah. Well, he has said it then, right?
Yeah. He feels that it's completely within the realm of the American way to.
Why is this?
Ned Bobkoff, would you like to get on the line here with this gentleman and talk with him? Ned is the producer, and you might. Hello.
Why was this? Now this started in February, right?
Well, this started in February in New York. We'll open a week from Wednesday in Houston.
Why was this set up this time of the year? Is there some reason for it? Is it for the downfall of this, administration?
I don't understand what you mean.
Well, aren't you implying a great deal in this play?
What do you mean by implying a great deal?
Well, the power of a person, and,
If you're talking about why the play's being put on, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Well, the play's being put on essentially because we feel it's, number one, a good play, and number two, it's an absolutely necessary play to be put on at this point when people are more than willing to
to obey the dictates and the laws of their leaders with on pure faith.
Well, that's what everybody lives by, is by faith.
Oh, I don't live by faith. I live by reason. I try to anyway.
Well, you are very unrealistic when you do, really.
You mean you're unrealistic if you try to live by reason, but you're realistic if you try to live by faith?
I think so.
Do you walk across the street by faith?
Not always, sometimes. It depends on which street corner I'm at.
Probably depends on whether you're driving the car or not, too.
I guess so. But I do believe that this here is for one purpose. The play was set up for one purpose.
And what's that purpose?
For the downfall of this administration.
What do you mean by the downfall of this administration? You mean by the violent downfall of this administration?
Of course not. Not that. The polls, the voting. Who do you think you're going to influence by?
Well, interesting. What are you trying to say that it's
going to be in?
Wait a minute. Now, apparently, sir, you feel that there is a great amount of truth in this play. Otherwise, you would not be worried about its existence.
Oh, I definitely believe that, probably. But
I don't understand what you mean. You definitely believe that, properly.
Look, I definitely believe it.
That there is some truth in the play.
Yes.
And
like
the truth.
Like I said, there was. The way the play is, I'm actually if a private man told me. But as far as openly having a play where everybody comes, no, I don't think this is right.
You believe that things should be discussed in whispers and in closed sessions? Is that the idea? That they shouldn't be broadcast in the streets?
I don't think anybody should be put up on a public ridicule like this is going to do.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there is no gentleman in the play named Johnson.
Well, you know that. And I know it, but what does it imply?
Well, it implies possibly that McBird could be anybody.
Yeah, but
could really be any power politician, couldn't he? He doesn't have to be Johnson. He could be anybody.
Why don't y'all, why doesn't everybody in the play and the writer itself admit who it's about, because that's who they wrote it about. Be quite frank about it. Come out and say it. Don't be scared. If
well, I'm not scared.
A free world and everything, and a free country, why don't you come out?
I'll tell you what. I'd rather whisper it to you, because that was your suggestion before. I'd rather not talk about it out loud. But since you suggested that people should speak in hushed whispers, I'll be happy to whisper into your ear what I really believe.
Okay. I would like it. Like for you to.
Or I'll whisper it now.
Because why imply something and make people wonder? I wish I was a college man so I could
I wish you were too.
So I could explain. I wouldn't be where I am now if I was.
What line of work are you in?
I'm a fireman.
Uh-huh. Well, you serve a purpose, a very good purpose.
It certainly does.
And all they're doing is questioning the useful purposes of other people, I suppose, with political satire. Ray Bradbury wrote a book called Fahrenheit 451. Have you read that?
No,
it's all about firemen. And I don't think you'd like that one, really. Thank you for talking to us.
Okay.
Alex Bennett. May I help you?
Yes, I'm waiting for Alex.
Well, I'm here. Hello?
Yes?
Yes.
Alex Bennett?
Yeah, you want to talk about McBird?
Yes, I do.
All right, go ahead.
I wondered why they closed so quickly in New York.
They didn't close in New York. They're
and
still...
why Johnny Carson wouldn't have him on.
Well, I don't know why Johnny Carson wouldn't have him on. I suppose because he is part of the saccharine vanilla conspiracy.
The what?
The saccharine vanilla conspiracy.
Well, what is that? Is that something new?
Let's
or is that the new left?
No, that's not the new left. Let me put it this way. Johnny Carson runs an entertainment program. I'm sure that possibly this did
well,
not come under the realm of...
Talk. He has an awful lot of talk there, too.
Huh?
He has an awful lot of talk there.
Yeah, but it's on an entertainment level as opposed to a discussion level of issues. The play did not close in New York, ma'am, at all. In fact,
what are they doing here, then?
Well, this is a... what can we call this? A roadshow engagement?
I read recently, just yesterday in Playboy, that... Texas and California were becoming almost alienated from the rest of the United States. And maybe that's why they're here. Do you think that?
Ned Bobkoff, would you like to answer that question? Because I don't know why you're here. Why are you here, Ned?
I didn't hear a question.
Well, I mean, who brought you here? The New Left at the University of Houston?
No, the New Left didn't bring me from the University of Houston.
Do you know about the New Left?
What is the New Left?
The Communists.
Oh. No, the Communists didn't bring me.
Well, who brought you
the
here?
The Bolsheviks.
Who paid you to come down here? Don't laugh at me.
No, the Mensheviks brought me.
I'm a veteran. I stepped over dead Japs.
Japs?
Yeah, I'm a veteran from the Army Nurse Corps. I stepped over dead Japs in the Pacific.
Well, I'm not laughing at you. I don't understand your question.
I heard you laugh, sir. I heard you laugh.
Pardon?
I heard you laugh.
I was laughing because it seems to me that you were laughing at me.
No, I'm not laughing at you. I only want to know why you came here.
Because I came here because I wanted to do the play here in Texas where I think it should be done. That's my answer.
No, but look, we are a culture sewer here. Are you going to take us deeper?
I didn't say you were a cultural sewer.
We've been called a culture sewer.
Now, why are you putting those words in my mouth for them?
Because we've been hearing it for almost 2 weeks. We're a culture sewer.
Well, I don't think that Houston's a cultural sewer at all.
Well,
I certainly...
we've been being told on this talk program for almost 2 weeks.
Well, you're asking me questions. I
have to say. Are you going to take us deeper into the sewer? No, I'm hanging up on you. Goodbye.
Oh, boy. You see, that's kind of... you wind up with those every now and then. What was she saying that the... I guess what she was trying to say is you're a communist conspiracy, right? In short. Sometimes I wonder what is worse, the extreme left or the extreme right. I think we saw a... What?
We need a quorum.
We need a quorum. All right, let's take another call.
Alex Bennett.
Mr. Bennett?
Yes.
There's a certain number of us that don't get in right at the first of your show, and some of us are kind of lost about what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering if you could basically tell us the gist of this play and what...
Basically, it is a satire. It's Comic Bird. It is a play on the Shakespearean play, Macbeth, in which there is a character called McBird,
yeah,
who might bear some sort of resemblance to President Johnson, and the Kennoduck clan, John Kennoduck, Robert Kennoduck, and Ted Kennoduck, and Lady McBird, and essentially in it, McBird carries through the demise of John Kennoduck. And this is where the controversy is surrounded. And plus, the play itself has some rather brilliant remarks to make about the way our society is run and about politics and about power and so on. And do you feel a play of this sort should be presented?
Yes, very much.
Mm-hmm.
I sure do. I think that... one of the basic things of our American society is the freedom to laugh at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in something like this that we are exercising this right.
You know, I've always heard from foreigners, they say, the great thing about Americans is they've always been able to laugh at themselves. They love to laugh at themselves.
Right.
And I find recently that there seems to be an overpowering sort of thing happening in this country where people are stopping this all-American practice of laughing at ourselves. We're getting to take ourselves a little too seriously, I think.
I believe it.
I don't think that President Johnson for one day in his life ever took himself seriously. And I don't think any of us really take ourselves that seriously where we are not ready to take the slings and arrows of outrageous...
And we'll continue in a moment with our discussion about McBird.
This is John K.M. McCaffrey for Shell Oil Company. On Tuesday evening, May 23rd, I came on nationwide television to kick off the new Shell Safe Driver Awards. Since the 23rd, people all across the country have taken the Shell Safe Driving Pledge and become eligible for the awards. Okay, how about the awards? There are 10,000 of them, and they run up to a possible grand award of $20,000. And how about you? If you're not one of those who are already eligible, may I strongly suggest you join them. It's not too late, and it's not at all difficult. just sign the Shell Safe Driving Pledge, available at any Shell service station. Keep the pledge by driving safely, and you may be rewarded with up to $20,000. It's that simple, that direct. Shell cares enough to reward you for driving safely, which is fine as far as it goes. The rest is up to you. I urge you to take the pledge and keep it and see how much you stand to gain.
My name is Alex Bennett. This is the Alex Bennett Show. We are discussing MacBird. Ned Bobkoff is here, Carol Bobkoff, Michael Bobkoff. It's a family affair. Ned is the producer. Carol acts in the production circles of the play. Michael plays... what's his name?
Robert
Kennedunk. Uh-huh. And we also have Bill Bailey, who is MacBird. All right, let's take another call. KILT Houston, our telephone number is Jackson 42911.
Alex Bennett.
Mr. Bennett.
Yes.
I'd like to take objection with these people that are overprotective with their children about seeing a satirical play.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that they are just being, too overprotective. It's the same thing with any subject, sex, or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they realize that, if their children understand it, well, what's the harm of them seeing it?
If the children understand it, what's the harm of them seeing it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Of course, this lady would have probably taken some objection to you saying that we should not teach our children to ridicule, but after all, that's what satire is, and then she sits down and reads the kid Alice in Wonderland.
Well, right. The thing is, when we cease to laugh at our country leaders, then I think it's going to be a sad situation.
I wish I knew what President Johnson thought of this play. If he did not laugh, I would say he was taking too seriously, wouldn't you?
I would say that he has an inferiority complex, or he doesn't feel that he's doing a good job himself,
Yeah, right. And I think that the greatest method ever produced for dissent, these people are yelling about this kind of dissent, but really, isn't it better than carrying placards in the street?
Right.
Just as effective, if not more.
That's right. And these demonstrations, aren't helping a thing. Really, I would rather go see a satirical play any day than watch placards on television being carried by demonstrators,
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Alex Bennett.
Mr. Bennett, I'd like to find out if MacBird is available in book form.
Yes, I believe it is in book form, in fact, in pocketbook form, published by Grove Press, which is on sale. I've seen it all over town. It's Grove Press, which is actually the Evergreen Review.
Uh-huh. Well, that's all I had to...
All right, well, we're not here selling books tonight. Thank you for calling. Alex Bennett.
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah.
I'd like to say I'm 100% behind MacBird.
All right.
And I think Houston needs a lot more of this type of play. Which brings up, I'd like to know if you've heard any more about this experimental theater.
Yes, in fact, they're having a meeting Friday night. I was going to mention that tomorrow night. They're having a meeting Friday night, and they're trying to get it together. And I think we ought to title it the Alex Bennett Memorial Theater. I agree with you. I think it's about time that no matter what the work is, it's some experimental work be done in Houston, Texas. I'm getting a little sick of arsenic and old lace every other Friday in our town. And Our Hearts Were Young and Gay and Grandma Shoots the Works by Donald Payton. Like this, which belong in high school.
Well,
the high schools are doing, I think, the Gingerbread Man and the Tin Woodman and all these other things, I think that we need a lot more experimental work, things with teeth in them, And, of course, we cannot all get a Ford Foundation grant, so we can't have the facilities to do Greek dramas and so on. So experimental theater is the one bastion left to those individuals who wish to do something creative all the way from the ground floor. Write it, produce it, direct it, act in it.
Well, I believe that's just the essence of life, is being able to create.
Yeah.
Are you going to participate in this experimental theater?
I'm going to try, because I work nights and most rehearsals are held at night. I told them I'd write them a play. Thank you for calling.
Sure thing.
Okay. I wonder if he ever wrote that play that he was claiming he was going to do. But anyway, Alex Bennett on KILT Radio. Hold on. I'm sorry about that. Didn't have the mic up as much as it should have been. Alex Bennett on KILT Radio in Houston on the night of May the 29th of 1967, discussing MacBird by Barbara Garson. Interesting play. Takes the relationship between the Kennedy brothers and Lyndon Johnson and grafts it onto the framework of Macbeth, the Shakespeare play. Anyway, that'll do it for this week. Sorry about the abbreviated program. It was thanks to thanks to a ticket kiosk up in the Antelope Valley. Oh, great. Anyway, we'll be back next week with a full program. If you want to contribute material, if you wanted to contribute your own phone call, or if you have an MP3 that you'd like to send in with whatever comment that you would have for next week's program, send it along. The email address for that would be baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's Baron of Arizona, BaronOfArizona, at gmail.com. Or you can phone it in at area code 909-999-5464. That's area code 909-999-5464. Leave the message, and I'll check it over and quite possibly include it in next week's program. I hope that you've enjoyed this particular program. I'm, as I say, going to be back 12:30, definitely 12:30, because I'm going to buy the pass in advance instead of waiting until I actually get to the train. 12:30 next Saturday. The day between Good Friday and Easter. And I hope that I hope that you'll join me at that point. And as always, fear and God do not inhabit the same space. I'll see you next week, going out with a little bit from Bob Broseman. His album Blues Reflex had a track called Dead Cat on the Line that I particularly like. This is it. See you next week.
I won't speak to you from this subject.
Amen.
If a child is no way like its father,
all right,
there's a dead cat on the line.
Great.
They tell me that once upon a time,
uh-huh,
they had some trouble trying to get a message over the telegram wire.
Well,
the company sent a man out to inspect the line. In making his report, he said that he found that a cat had gone up telegraph pole and died on the line. And that was the reason why they couldn't get the message over the line.
Amen.
Now, if a child doesn't favor its father in no way.
Yes.
There's a dead cat on the line.
Lordy child should resemble his father. Lordy ought to favor him some way. If a child don't favor his daddy, there's a dead cat on the line. Dead cat on the line. Dead cat on the line. If there ain't but one rooster in the barnyard, all the little chicken will favor him some way. If the chicken don't favor their daddy, there's a dead cat on the line. Dead cat on the line. Mama, there's a dead cat on the line. If a man is president and he lying about what he's done, man, wake up, people, there's a dead cat on the line. Dead cat on the line. Man, there's a dead cat on the line. Now if the words don't favor the story, then that message will not get through. It's just like that telegram wire when a dead cat's on the line. Dead cat on the mama, dead cat on the line. Wake up.